Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is an honor to have you all here in our sanctuary today. I'm so glad to see your faces. And it is an honor to have those of you chiming in wherever you are. Maybe you have traveled already and you're somewhere else watching. And so we welcome you today to worship. As we enter into Thanksgiving week, I hope that you know how grateful we are, especially as a staff, for this church and for the love that you have shown for the staff and for each other and for our community over the past several months. It's been crazy, and we've tried all kinds of different things, and you guys have just run with it with us, and we're so very grateful for you and for everything you do for each of you and for us too. Miss Johnny Lynch also asked me to remind you that there are still a few bags of Thanksgiving out in the Grand Hall. If you didn't get yours last week and you'd like to grab one on your way out, we invite you to do that. I'd like for us all to take a moment now to turn our hearts and minds and prepare our bodies for worship. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lord God, the words "Jesus is King" come easily to our lips, yet we often fail to grasp the significance of what they mean for us. In this service, help us worship you in spirit and truth, and give us a vision of your kingdom on earth, for we may live in homage to you every day of our lives. Through Christ our Lord.
Jesus is King. Amen. I invite you to stand in spirit and or stature as we continue to worship.
Would y'all please pray with me? We thank you for today, God, and for the ability to worship you, for the endless love you give to us, and for the sacrifice your Son made for each and every one of us. You're so great, God, and you're so much more than our words do justice for. May we continue to praise you now and every day. Amen.
All the boys and girls at home and here to join me for children's time today. I'm going to talk to you about something that I'm really passionate about and I really get excited about every year. We do this awesome camp here at Second Baptist called To Be Leaders Camp, and some of you have been, and some of you are waiting for your first summer to come to To Be Leaders Camp, and I am anxiously waiting for you to join us as well. And To Be Leaders Camp is really, really fun. I mean, we swim every week. We play games here at the church. We go on awesome, fun field trips. But one of the greatest things that we do at To Be Leaders Camp is that we help out in our community. And you guys get invited each week to go to the South Plains Food Bank. And I love when it's your food bank day and you guys show up and you see the bus here and you get so pumped up to ride over to the food bank. And no matter what project they give to our To Be Leaders kids, you guys are gung-ho. And you're stuffing those bags with the cereal and with the fruits and the vegetables and packing meals and whatever projects they give us, you guys do it with a smile and you never complain. And it amazes me every time we're there how you're so happy to go and help out for people you don't even know. We also get invited to the food bank farm each summer, and I love to watch you guys pull the weeds and help out with the blackberries and the things we get to do out at the farm. And you're all happy and you're doing it, and it's blessing people that you don't even know, and it makes my heart happy. And I think it's teaching us adults, boys and girls, how to do things for others with a grateful heart, right, and with a happy heart. And we're so pleased that you will do this and do it so well. And our scripture today, it basically says that, boys and girls. It says, do unto others, make them make their lives easier, help out in your community, and be kind to one another, and do it with a happy heart. And I'm so proud that you can teach us all how to do that. So I thank you for what you do and what you're going to do in the future, and I look forward to our next To Be Leaders Camp when we can be together and go on service projects and fun field trips together. Boys and girls, don't run away after we pray, because I want you to see that we are going to have a beautiful baptism in just a little bit, and I look forward to the day when some of you come forward for baptism and do this with us. And so please stay online and watch for that. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for the children and the families in this church. I thank you for the faith that they learn at home and for the faith that they learn here. God, I am so grateful for the love that they have for others in our community and for each other. Thank you for teaching us how to give and how to share through the hearts of these children. Lord, we thank you so much for Reagan and the baptism that we're about to witness today. We thank you for this church for helping to raise her up and her family. God, be with all of these kids as they go about Thanksgiving week. Help them to be safe and to be healthy and have some great turkey dinners. In your name we pray. Amen. Miss Donna is ready at the back if you want to go to preschool praise right now.
have been so very blessed to know Reagan over the last 2 years that I've been here with Second B. And over these last 2 years, I've watched her grow tremendously in her faith. There's not enough time in this service for me to say all the good things about Reagan that I could say. I mean, she leads and she loves wholeheartedly, and she loves her group of kids around her. She loves everyone who she comes in contact with, and she is a very good example of God's love to all of us. She always has a bright smile on her face and some type of funny little tidbit of what happened today that always makes you think, oh, yeah, that's Reagan. There's something always going on. But she always has such a joyful heart and such a willingness to serve and to lead and to love those around her. She's always so full of Jesus's love. And I know that I have learned from her over these last few years, and our group has learned from her. And we are so blessed to have you, Reagan. If you will go ahead and join me. The work of Jesus Christ began with his baptism. So our work as disciples of Christ begins there too. Today, we present to you Reagan, who has acknowledged Christ as her Lord and Savior.
We affirm her as our sister in Christ and as a member of this church family. Lord, your joy is our joy, as this family is renewed at the waters of baptism.
The scripture Reagan has chosen for her baptism comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 18, chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what it cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them.
Reagan, we're so proud of you. And we, more than just being proud, we see the light of Christ in your life. Do you believe that these waters represent the God who created all? Do you believe that these waters display to us Christ who washes us, who cares for us? And do you believe that these waters represent the Holy Spirit who is always with you? Amen. And church, and you can say amen to a baptism, church. Do you believe that it is your job to be the body of Christ, to pray, to encourage, to be the light of Christ along with Reagan and this family. Amen. Reagan, we invite you to enter in to the waters of Christ, living water, raised in new life. Amen. Lord, let the waters wash over us. Let the waters that have no end, boundless in love and grace and beauty, may these waters always be with Reagan and this family. May your waters always quench our bodies. May your waters always fill our lands. May your waters, living water, always give us hope. For this we pray. For this we give thanks. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come you that are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the great honors of my life is to share in the practice of baptism, and I'd like to just commend particularly Roger and Rebecca and this family. It is indeed a beautiful thing. I admire you, look up to you, and we pray for you, and well done. Reagan, proud of you as well. Look forward to a little bit of camp time with you. Last year, Reagan is the one who picked everywhere we got to eat. So wasn't that a delight? Hey, speaking of eating, I want you to know my family takes time this week to thank God for you. We do. And the primary way that we know that Christ is alive, that Christ is King, that Christ is risen, is we have seen Jesus in you. In your face, in your laugh, in your joy, in your service. And our family takes time to thank God for you. Chucky O'Sullivan, you may know this gentleman we spoke of years ago, him and his best friend Will Hunting. Both of these individuals are formally uneducated. They are employed, however, as construction workers. Chucky and Will are the best of friends, and so they work together and they hang out together. They spend a lot of time together. Most mornings, Chucky, on his way to work, will stop right in front of Will's home. He'll just pull up and honk the door, and sure enough, most mornings Will comes out his front door, hops in the car, and the two go on to work a 9-to-5 job in construction, and more importantly for them, they go from 6 to 2 to socialize with local co-eds. And this is what they do day in and day out. They go to work and they go out. This monotony, this simplicity of life is all fine and well for Chucky. Although formally uneducated, he is employed, he's working hard. But Will, his friend Will, is a mathematical genius, as maybe you know the story. And this is frustrating for Chucky. Chucky doesn't see much more in store in life for him. However, Will, this mathematical genius, is really only put to good use late at night trying to impress girls. And after a rather pedestrian day at work and an even more regular evening out and about in the towns of Boston, on the way home, Chucky dropping off Will, Chucky finally confesses his hope, saying, "Will, do you know what I want? What I want most in life is one morning when I pull up in front of your house for you not to be here. I want to honk the horn and get frustrated. I want to go up to the front door of your apartment and knock on the door and for you not to come out. I want your coffee to get cold in the console of my car. I want for you to not be here. And if you know the line, no goodbye, no see you later, no letter, nothing. I want you to be gone." And if you would, stand and join me again for the reading of the gospel, this time just a few chapters later in Matthew 28. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. The appearance of the angel was like lightning, whose clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of the angel that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you. The women looking for Jesus are told by the angel, "He is not here. Christ the King is risen, and Jesus is not here." There are two foundational beliefs for us in this Christian tradition. The first being that Jesus is raised. He is raised. And today, I suspect, at this moment in our world, I suspect, although Christ is raised, he is not seated upon the throne. Although Christ is raised, he may not even be in the throne room. We also believe that Christ is coming. At the fullness of all things, Christ will come again and redeem all and heal all. And I can't help but to wonder where and when this might take place. However, today and at this moment in our world, I wonder. I suspect even that Christ won't return on a Sunday morning. If it is on a Sunday, I wonder if Jesus will just wait until all the churches have been let out. The Jesus that we read of in Scripture, I just don't think wears a seersucker suit. Christ, who has been slain on the cross, I don't think has any interest in being in buildings with such beautiful crosses. Yeah. If Christ does come back on a Sunday, I think that he will occupy neither a pew nor a pulpit. So where and when is the risen Christ the King? One of the things that I love about this church facility, this building that we have here, is that we do not have a steeple. It's incredible. And I love this building as a gift, as a resource. And don't you know, we're going to pay it off soon. Amen. We invite you to give a gift to our church. If you haven't done that yet, we invite you to give a gift to our church. For those of you who have given generously, sacrificially, we give thanks to God for your generosity. I've been saying we're going to pay this building off April 2021, Easter 2021. Hey, let's just pay it off at Christmas. What do you say? Let's just knock it out. Why wait, my brothers and sisters? Why wait? We have this incredible facility. You may have learned, as I learned, however, about churches that have steeples growing up. Did you ever learn the rhyme? Right, here is the church, the building. Here is the steeple. Open it up, and here is all the people. And certainly we could discuss at at no end the philosophical, theological complexities in this rhyme. But here it is. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open it up, and here's all the people. And one of the things I love about our church is we don't have a steeple. Steeples are incredible. They point up. They point up. They remind us that God is transcendent. That God is risen from the grave, and it's incredible. We don't have a steeple. Instead, rather, we have a fish roof, as someone called it this morning. We have a fish roof. We have an ichthus. As you well know, this word in Greek is an acronym, and it's all about Jesus, meaning the acronym is Jesus Christ, God, Child, and Savior of the world. It's possible maybe this ichthus was originally used that Christians in a time of great persecution would maybe wipe their foot in the sand, suggesting half of the ichthus, and maybe if the other was a Christian as well, they would grab the other half of the ichthus and complete the fish. You see, we don't have a steeple pointing up to an empty throne room. We have a fish arrow pointing to where Christ is. Yeah. The scriptures say Christ returns. Christ is today, as we read, in the place in which the hungry are fed, in the place in which the naked are clothed, in the place in which the afflicted are comforted. Yeah, Christ is not here. Where is Christ? Christ is here. Christ is not here in the building that we call a church. First, Christ is here, right? And I know in some regards even this motion feels cheesy. I've struggled with it all week. However, this is true from the very beginning, before there was a beginning. The scriptures say that God created all that was good, that God created you in the image of the divine. You are always with the presence of Christ. The risen Christ, the Christ the King, is always with you. And if this is all that we had, if this is all the truth we ever had, this would be enough. This would be enough. We might not really need any more than to be reminded that Christ is with us. Christ is here. And here is an arrow pointing out to where Christ is. And I know this is beautiful. This is theoretical. It's conceptual. It's wonderful that Christ is here with us. And also, it's very practical. It's extremely practical in as much you have a lot on your plate. This week, you will have a lot on your plate. I plan to do so myself. Too much on my plate, even. And Christ is with you. And it is delicious to be alive. Amen? It is incredible to have skin and life and breath. It is wonderful. And for this, we worship God. And to be alive is not an easy bake. It is quite difficult. All that you have on your plate is quite heavy. And Christ is with you. All that you have on your shoulders, all that you have on your back, Christ is with you. Christ is not up on the throne kicking it back. Christ is not raised up on the iron throne just basking in self-glory. As we read throughout the scriptures, Christ instead is on bended knee, washing feet. Christ is squatting to lift the afflicted up, to place them in waters and baptize them with love and with care. And over the next few weeks, we'll see all kinds of images of professional athletes and famous people doing wonderful things, serving those who are hungry, clothing those who are naked. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear the stories of CEOs of large corporations doing wonderful things, all good and well. We know that humans, on occasion, do learn this posture of Jesus. I'm thrilled. Our pastor, Pastor Cheryl, is leading our church. We will serve this year. We will serve Christmas lunch for those who benefit from St. Benedict's in our city. And there are times in which we, as humans, we learn this posture of Jesus. However, Christ lived it every single day. Christ gave bread. Christ did not give cheap advice. Christ listened and sat and waited and prayed with those who are afflicted. Yeah. It is the story of Jesus that reminds me. It is the story of Jesus, the example of Christ, that reminds us the greatest steeples in this world are when someone walks in to your office needing to talk. The greatest steeples in this world are when you get around the table with your loved ones and you truly give thanks and you truly commune with one another. The greatest steeples in this world are when the children are fed, when the homeless are given hope, when the afflicted are treated as people who are real and people who are loved. Christ is King and is not here. Which begs the question, what is all this for? Jake, what are you for? What is all, I'm glad you asked. There's a young girl named Jamie, and in a bus accident, she lost her right arm. As you can imagine, this is difficult in and of itself. Being right-handed, she had to learn how to do life all over again with her left hand, with her left non-dominant arm. And as you can imagine, and years later, looking back on this young person's life, she's thriving. She's incredible. Nothing stops this young woman. She's an inspiration. However, as you can imagine, in those early days, the greatest difficulty for young Jamie was her friends, was her community. What were people going to think? What were people going to say? How would people look at her? And so naturally, she stayed home a lot. She hid in her bedroom. She didn't want to go to school. And her parents were wonderful. They were patient. They were kind. And it was after a lot of time together, Jamie finally got up the courage to go out in public. And her first time to be out in the community, she asked her parents, "Can I just go to church? In fact, can I just go to Sunday school? I don't want to go into big church. I just want to go to Sunday school. Do you think I could go to Sunday school?" And her parents were thrilled. What a great first place to be. "Of course, let's go to Sunday school this week." And so her parents kindly and wisely called ahead to her Sunday school teacher and said, "Thank you so much for teaching the class. You know, Jamie loves you, and we're so thrilled that she's going to come to Sunday school this week. And we just want to ask you if you'll not just give any extra attention to her. She just wants to be a wallflower. She just wants to be there. So please don't make it a big deal." And the Sunday school teacher said, "Oh, of course, we'd love to. It'll be great." And lo and behold, as some of you may know, on Saturday night is the night in which Sunday school teachers are required to get sick. We run a temp agency here on the weekends, okay? And sure enough, this Sunday school teacher got sick and scheduled his own substitute to be there that next morning. And this substitute teacher came to class and was all fired up and was so excited to teach the children her favorite rhyme about faith and about the church. And so she got the kiddos all together and she said, "Put your hands together. This is the church." She said, "Put your pinky fingers up and say, 'This is the steeple.' And then open it up." And the Sunday school teacher looks out. And here's Jamie with a full heart and with tears on her cheeks. And with one hand, that is until her best friend, sitting next to her, reached over with her other hand. And they joined their fingers together and said, "This is the church." It is those two young girls that reminded us where Christ is. What is all this for? This is so that we can 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week. You have been the arrow. You have been out. You have been faithful. You have served those who are hungry. You have comforted those who are afflicted. My brothers and my sisters, all week you've been doing this. Well done. Well done. What a responsibility. It is incredibly difficult to do the ministry and the work that you've done alongside of your job, alongside of the personal struggles that you carry with you all every day. You've done that all week, and here you are, in this space in which the King is not sitting on the throne. This is the space where we join our hands together and we encourage you. We encourage you. We give thanks to God for you. You have been faithful. We come in here for just a short time, and we're reminded that Jesus is not here. So let's go feed the hungry. Let's go clothe the naked. Let us encourage and pray for one another, for Christ the King is risen, risen in you. Amen. I invite you to stand as you may be able, and we'll continue to worship together.
The Church of Christ cannot be bound by walls of wood or stone, where charity and love are found, there can the Church be known. True faith will open up the door and step into the stream. True service will seek out the poor and ask to wash their feet. If what we have we freely share to be our neighbor need, then we extend the Spirit's care through every selfish deed.
Will you pray with me, please? Oh Lord our God, we are so grateful in this Thanksgiving season that Jesus is not here. He's risen. He's in our hearts. And he cannot be bound by a building or a structure or anything that might enclose him. And Father, as we come along up to this week we call Thanksgiving, teach us to be thankful. Teach us to praise you more, to be grateful for the things we have and the things we have had. And Father, as we come to this time of offering, I pray that you will go before us and use the money where it can be used best. And as we offer these monetary offerings, I pray that you would teach us to share of ourselves and to help those around us who need it. And Lord, I pray again that you will use this money that we give to you today as just a token of our gratitude to you. And I pray that you will use it to further your kingdom and to use it as you see fit. For I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Said catfish earlier. Take out Chinese. What a great option. Dressing, stuffing, pumpkin pie, apple pie, pecan pie, pecan pie. All of these are gifts, and we give thanks to God. But it is Christ the King. It is the Holy Spirit who truly fills us. Go in peace.